Well, we're going to pray right now and ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Pray with me. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity we have to come and gather in your name. And Lord, we believe that you're here. We believe that you speak to us. And we believe that your word is alive and powerful. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to receive all that you have for us today, Lord, and to live it out in our lives to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about simple change. You know, I mentioned change a couple of weeks ago in the message, Going to the Next Level. But it is so much a part of our life as a Christian that God works in our lives to change us. Now, a lot of times we make change way more complicated than it is. It's not always easy, but most of the time change is simple and we just tend to make it complicated. You know how many Pentecostals it takes to change a light bulb? 10, because you got to have one to actually change the bulb and 9 to pray against the powers of darkness. Yeah. You know how many Calvinists it takes to change a light bulb? None, because Calvinists don't change bulbs. If God wants it changed, he'll change it. How many Baptists does it take? 15. One to actually change the bulb, and the rest to form 3 committees to approve the change and decide who's going to bring the potato salad. How many TV evangelists does it take? Well, it just takes 1, but please send your donations today for the light to continue. How many Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? None. They don't use light bulbs, they use candles. You didn't know that, but how many campfire worship leaders does it take to change a light bulb? Now, this one, it kind of dates some of us, so those of you that remember, please identify with me. It only takes 1, but soon all those around will warm up to its glowing. Some of you remember, don't you? How many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? Well, 10, actually just 1 to change it, but 9 more to sit around and talk about how much they liked the old one. How many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? It's undetermined. Whether your light is bright, dull, or completely out, you are loved. You can be a light bulb, a turnip bulb, a tulip bulb. We don't care. Church-wide lighting service is planned for Sunday. Bring the bulb of your choice in a covered dish. How many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? None. Lights will go on and off at predestined times. How many Amish does it take to change a light bulb? What's a light bulb, right? How many Jehovah's Witness does it take to change a light bulb? None. The lights are on, but no one's home. How many Mormons does it take to change a light bulb? 5. 1 man to change the bulb and 4 wives to tell him how to do it. Yep. So, if I missed your favorite, please don't be offended. I'll try to get it next time. You know, a lot of the time when preachers tell a joke, you never know when somebody's going to get offended. So, I just tried to get them all this morning. And I can identify with several of those I read, by the way. But how is it that we make change so complicated when really, most of the time, it's pretty simple? We have a hard time with change. I think that's why we make it so complicated. And most of us, we kind of like to think that we're, you know, current and we're okay with change. But we have a hard time with change. Even children, teenagers sometimes have a hard time with change. Well, if you don't think so, just try to get them to try a new food. You know, they like what they like. And I'm just telling you, we all tend to struggle with change. But change happens, ready or not. It's inevitable. Things change. Things all around us change. And it even happens to us. Like the guy that goes to his 30-year high school reunion, and after a little while, he tells his wife, he says, "See that guy over there? He's gotten so old, he didn't even recognize me. You know, come on now, 3 of you, that's great. Listen, things change, and it doesn't matter, even if you don't want it to, I'm telling you things are going to change, but listen, in the midst of the change of life and things that happen, how much better it is if we are proactive about those changes. You know, the Christian life is all about change. God says, I, the Lord, change not. So he doesn't change. You know why? Because he's already perfect. So he never changes. But listen, he likes to do new things, and he likes to change lives. We talk about that a lot at this church. We believe that God wants to change people's lives. The Bible tells us very plainly, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's a big change. Now, when we get born again, there's supposed to be a radical transformation in our life. But that doesn't mean that the change is over. No, it is just the beginning. And God will continue to work in our lives and change us if we'll allow it. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began a good work in you, but he's not done. No, we're still supposed to be learning and growing, and that requires change. Now, all change is not good. All change is not God. And all change is not growth. But you can be sure of this, growth requires change. And so, as we look at this year that's before us, we need to realize that there are things that are going to change this year, and we can make this a better year by being proactive about the changes. It makes us uncomfortable when things change, but you can't get from where you are to where you want to be in life without change. The Swiss at one time owned 80% of the world watch market. They actually invented the quartz watch, but they decided that it just wasn't the right way to make a watch. They had always made watches with springs and gears, and they decided that's what they would continue to do. But the Americans and the Japanese got the idea of the quartz watch, and they marketed it. In just a few years, the Swiss went from having 80% of the watch market to 10%. Why? They just weren't ready for change. Change happens, but you have to choose to be proactive about that change. So instead of letting it happen to you, initiate change in your life. See, if we don't do anything, our bodies are going to change. They just do. They're going to change. If you don't do anything, your body will change. But if you'll exercise and eat right, you can change your body for the better. And a whole lot of life is that way. Just things just naturally deteriorate. Things change. But if you're proactive about the change, you can actually make those things better. Relationships can change. Friends, many times, come and go. Some move away, some just drift apart. Sometimes we get closer to people, and then they move on. But if we're proactive about the change, you see, we can make changes that will actually improve our relationships. We can make changes in our life that will help us make new friends and develop close relationships with people, like joining a growth group. A simple change that might really impact your life. Your finances can change. You can have unexpected expenses. It doesn't matter, you know, it could be something that breaks, it could be a car accident, it could be a health issue. There are many things that can impact your finances negatively, the loss of a job. But there are also things that you can do to initiate positive change in your finances. I want to encourage you this morning to look for changes, simple changes that you can make in your life that will get you where you want to go. They say it's a form of insanity to think you can keep doing the same thing and get different results. So we need to change some things. Haggai 1 and 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now, when he says consider your ways, he's saying consider what you're doing. In this passage, the Lord is telling them the reason that things are not going well for them is because they're not doing right. They need to make some changes. And so he says, consider your ways. Now, one of the things they were doing is they were taking care of their own house, but not taking care of the house of God. And the Lord says, consider your ways. We need to consider our ways, especially if there's an area of our life that is not going that well. It could be better. We need to consider our ways. What are we doing? What do we possibly need to change in that area? See, if we want to have the very best year possible, then we need to be willing to change. And in fact, I think we ought to be good at it. God forbid that we stay in a rut with the same old thing, living with the same issues, the same problems, year after year after year, never making any headway. No, we need to be good at change. So I'm going to give you 5 simple keys to changing. Very simple. It's going to be the ABCs of change, all right? Actually, the A, B, C, D, and E of change, but it's going to be simple. I'm not telling you that change is easy. I'm telling you that it is not complicated. It should be simple. Now, keys can be very powerful. Most of us got here with a key this morning. We started a car, and a key can help you start something. A key can also open a door. It can open a door of opportunity, a new direction in your life, a door to accomplishing it, being successful in what God wants you to do. So here we go. A is accept responsibility. Galatians 6:5 says, "For each one shall bear his own load." The Bible makes it very clear that all of us are responsible for our own life. Oh, this is not a popular concept in the world today where everybody blames everybody else for their problems. One of the clues that we are blaming everything and everybody else is we complain. If you find yourself complaining a lot, you're blaming a lot. And if we identify certain people or certain institutions, or, you know, it could be the government, it could be the school, it could be church. If we identify certain institutions, other things as the reason that we can't be what we should be, the reason we can't do what we should do, we condemn ourselves to stay in that same rut. Because if it's their fault, then there's nothing that we can do about it. We're condemned to it. I'm telling you that the first part of this, the first principle, is so important that you take responsibility for your own life. And we all see this in our culture where people go on Oprah or some other talk show and they got all these excuses why their life is such a mess, and they blame their parents and they blame the government and they blame their teachers. They blame everything and everybody else. It's not their fault. I'm telling you, the first principle of simple change is you got to take responsibility. Accept responsibility. There are things in the world that you can't change. It's amazing how we tend to focus on the things that we can't change. And the one thing that we absolutely can change is ourselves. There are circumstances you don't have control over. Things like the economy, and traffic, the words and actions of others. And we know that through the power of prayer that God can change our circumstances. He can change governments and weather. But so often, we focus on changing everything else but the one thing that we absolutely can change. One man said, "I was a revolutionary. I decided that I wanted to change the world, and so I prayed, Lord, give me energy to change the world." He said, "Then when I got close to middle age, I realized that nothing was happening, and so I changed my prayer that I would just pray, Lord, help me to change my family and my friends." He said, "Then when I became an old man, I changed my prayer again. I said, Lord, just help me to change myself." He said, "I had prayed for, if I had prayed this from the start, I wouldn't have wasted my life." Let me tell you, you want to change your family and friends? You want to change the world? It's got to start with you. You got to be willing to change. You will never be that change agent in this world if you don't let God change you and work in you. Don't waste your time. Focus on changing everything. Why do we have to put up with this? Why doesn't this change? Let's start right here and accept responsibility for our own selves. There's three kinds of people. There are the accusers, there's the excusers, and there are choosers. The accusers are those that are always blaming everybody else for their problems, and their favorite phrase is, "It's not my fault." And their second favorite phrase is, "It's your fault." Then there are the excusers. These are the people that always have an excuse for not doing something. They're the ones that always figure out some reason that they can't be successful, they can't accomplish, they can't really change. And then there are the choosers. These are the people that choose to accept responsibility for their own life, their own goals, and their own happiness. Choose to accept responsibility. I am choosing to make changes in my life. I'm choosing to not do some old things, and I'm choosing to do some new things. You remember we read that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. I'm telling you, we need to choose to change some things. Next, B is for believe. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." A lot of people never succeed in really making changes because they don't believe they can. And they're living by past experience. They say, "Well, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried." Listen, if you stop believing that you can, you never will. But Jesus says all things are possible to him who believes. You see, we're not doing this alone. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We have the power of the Word of God, the living, active, powerful Word of God that can change our lives. And we have the power of prayer, that we can go to God and ask him and trust him. You see, when I say believe, I am not talking about believing in yourself. I'm talking about believing in God, trusting that the life changer isn't done with you, that as he said in Philippians 1:6, that he is still performing that work in your life. But you know what? God doesn't force change on us any more than he forces us to accept him as Savior. Well, we need to embrace that. We got to believe that we can change. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." So we've got to stop saying, "Well, I can't do that. I've tried to do this and I just can't." No, we got to say, "I can do all things." You got to believe that you can change. before you can. We all face challenges. We all face struggles and times that maybe we just don't know what to do. And that's okay. We know somebody who does. So many great promises. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. I'm just telling you that God can help you. He can give you the wisdom. He can give you the know-how to make the changes that you need to make. He'll always give us strength. He'll always help us. And the Bible is full of changed lives. This room is full of changed lives. Every born-again Christian has experienced change in their life. So we certainly should believe that we can change. But get this, whether you have known the Lord for just a few days or many, many years, we need to believe that God can still change us. He's still working in our lives. I can be a better husband. I can be a better father. I can be a better pastor. I can become a better preacher. I can be a better people person. I can have peace while I'm driving in traffic. I'm talking about me right now, in case you didn't catch that. I'm talking about me. I can control my eating habits. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can change. But you got to believe. I can be used of God in a greater way. Simon Peter. You know, the name Simon meant reed, and he was a reed. He was blown back and forth by the wind, always up and down. He vowed he would never deny the Lord, and then he denied him three times. But Jesus called him a rock, and he changed. He became a rock in the church. They say that they crucified him upside down because he wouldn't deny the Lord. That's a radical change. And I tell you that God can change you. If you believe him, he can help you to make changes. You're not doing it on your own. C, clarify what needs to change. Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. See, we need to clarify what needs to change by looking to the Word of God and in prayer. This isn't something that we just do haphazardly, carelessly, but we prayerfully, you know, we decide what needs to change in our life and we set our course. You see, this is one of the ways that we've been created in His image is that we have a free will. And we can decide, you see, we can choose, but first you need to clarify how you're going to change, what it is that needs to change, and make it plain on tablets. This is what he said, make it plain on tablets. In other words, you actually need to write it down. I don't know why more people don't do this. It's amazing that it's been proven to help you reach your goals, and yet a lot of people think it's so silly that it's a waste of time. Well, the Bible says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Write down what it is you want to see happen in your life. And then also, write down, clarify the steps that you're going to take to get there. Write it down. Clarify what your personal goals are, and then clarify what needs to change for you to accomplish those goals. Write it down. What do I value? What do I want to see happen? Put it down. Then you take that list and you make it a prayer list. You don't shove it in a drawer and forget about it. You pray about those things. Remember, we're believing. We're not doing this on our own. No, we're trusting God. And so you pray about those things. Use it as a prayer list. And then you take that list and you make it a plan of action. You use that list to keep yourself on target, moving towards those goals. There's three things that need to be at the top of your list. First is your relationship with God. There's nothing more important than your relationship with God. And we should always be growing in the Lord. We should always have a desire to be closer to Him, to draw near to God. And so I encourage you, don't just make this about things that, you know, making more money. Don't just make this about losing weight. Remember the most important things. I'm telling you, there's all of us can grow and do better in these important areas. The Lord first. Next is your loved ones, your relationship with your loved ones. There's nothing more important than that other than the Lord Himself. And your relationship with your church family, your brothers and sisters in Christ. See, we need to keep our priorities straight and realize that those relationships in life are far more important than anything else. But clarify what needs to change. D, do it now. Not later. Don't wait. I'm telling you, those three words can change your life. Do it now. You know, there were several people that Jesus said, follow me, and they made excuses of something that they had to go and do something else first. And His responses were, frankly, they sound harsh to us, but I'm just telling you that if you clarify what the vision is and what God wants to do in your life, do it now. To one of those people, Luke 9:62, he says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. See, you decide this is what you need to do, do it now. Don't put it off. If you're waiting for the right situation, the right circumstance, I'm telling you, you'll miss out on all that God has for you. One boy told his dad, he said, Dad, there's three frogs sitting out on a limb over the pond. One of the frogs decides to jump off. How many frogs are left? The dad says, two. The boy says, nope. The dad says, oh, I get it. So one of them jumped, so of course the others two jumped also, so there's none left. The boy said, nope, there's three. Because one frog decided to jump. He didn't jump. And I'm telling you, I see this over and over and over again. People decide to do things and then don't do it. This is how health clubs make their money. This time of year. Now, there's a whole slew of people that join a health club and go for a week or two and then they're out. But there are actually people that go to the health club and sign their name and give them their credit card and join the health club and never go back a single time. Every semester of growth groups, we have people that will sign up for a growth group and never even go one time after they signed up. Do it! Just do it. You got to do it. Listen, change ain't going to happen if you don't do it. I want to have more quality time with my kids. And the first day home, you're tired. And so you turn on the TV and plop down on the couch. No, you got to do it. I think this is the biggest breakdown for most people in initiating and following through, having positive change in their life. They wait. They put it off to a more convenient time. And that time never comes. Life passes them by. The kids are grown. You got to do it. Ecclesiastes 11 and 4 says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." And here's the meaning. If you wait for perfect conditions, you won't ever do anything. But when things settle down, when things get better, the problem is that things never settle down and they don't get better. Well, when I have more money, I'll tithe. Very, very unlikely. And I'm going to tell you, it is easier to tithe off $100 than $10,000. Now, some of you, you're thinking, oh, that's silly. Oh, no, no. When I started as a youth pastor, well, okay, after 3 months when they started paying me. But anyway, when I started getting paid $100 a week, it was easy for me to write that $10 check. But when somebody's making a whole lot of money, you know what they say? Well, that's a lot of money. Maybe I shouldn't give that money to the churches, you know. We don't know what they're doing with all that money. They got their excuse why they're not going to change. I'm just telling you, a lot of people think, well, if this was different, or when I get to this place in life, when this finally happens, well, then I'm going to change. Then I'm going to follow through. You never get there. You just got to do it. That is the breakdown for so many people. They just never actually do it. E, expect. Expect a battle. I am not telling you to be negative or to always be looking for trouble, but I'm just telling you that you need to be prepared for adversity. If you're going to make any changes in your life, it's not going to be easy. Most of the time, there's going to be a struggle. There's going to be some kind of conflict, some kind of obstacle. Something's going to arise, some kind of issue. And here's why you need to expect that. Because most people get discouraged, they get disillusioned, and they just give up. They say, well, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I wanted to work in the children's ministry, but I didn't know it was going to be like this. And so they're out. They were going to change lives, be a part of God changing children's lives, but they're out because they didn't know there was going to be adversity. Let me tell you, you make positive changes in your life, there's going to be some adversity. You have an enemy. The Bible says an adversary. So you go to make changes, expect trouble. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you will have trouble. But that's not the end of the verse, is it? But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So we expect that there's going to be some trouble. But you know what? We also expect that we are going to overcome. Jesus overcame so that we could overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I'm telling you, we will win if we won't give up. So yeah, there's going to be some trouble. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15:57, by the way. So, yes, we're expecting a battle, but we're also expecting to win that battle. We're expecting to overcome, that we're going to see the changes happen that need to happen in our life. Don't settle. Don't stay in a rut. You know, sometimes when things are just kind of going okay, we tend to do that. But I want to tell you, God's got more than okay. So don't settle. Make up your mind that you're going to be willing to make simple changes. Not easy, but simple. Simple as A, B, C, D, E. You can do it. God will help you. and you'll look back on this year and you'll say, wow, what a great year. Things that maybe you had wanted to change for 10, 15 years, and this year came your breakthrough. Simple change. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank you that you are a life-changing God and that you are not done with me. You're not done with any of us, Lord. Lord, from the most carnal to the most spiritual, you are not done with us. And I pray, Father, that you would help those who have become discouraged, those who've just given up, those that don't see how they can change. I pray, Father, that today, Lord, that faith will rise in their heart to believe you, to trust you, and to take a step of faith in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, for those that have just settled into that rut. I pray that they be stirred this morning, Lord, to want something more. I pray for a fresh hunger, a thirst in their heart, Lord, to step forward and to move out in what you have for them. I thank you for it. And Father, I just pray that you would have your way in all our lives and be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, when we dismiss, I want you to come for prayer. Listen, first of all, if you don't really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here is the beginning of the greatest life change that you will ever make. When you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, you will be born again and you will become a new creation in Christ. If that's you, when we dismiss, come and let one of these prayer partners talk with you about that and pray with you. Some of you here this morning, I know, I've been there. There are those areas where you just feel like you're in a rut, can't get out. I'm telling you, God can help you break out. And so come for prayer this morning. Maybe you need clarity. Maybe you need God to speak to you. Listen, the Holy Spirit can show you what needs to change in your life. So you come for prayer. As always, whatever prayer need you come to our service with, you're welcome to come. We'd be glad to pray with you. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.